Crumbling star of my ignorant sleep, I open my eyes to take a peek. To find that I don't smile in the stinging, gazing with trembling melody.
You are listening to Hurdy-Gurdy Songs. Welcome. This is Jorge Arevalo Mateos. So pleased to be here in beautiful Brooklyn. The clouds are gathering, and it's appropriate for our subject matter today on this, the second installment. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. Welcome to Hurdy-Gurdy Songs. Our theme today is war in its various forms and incarnations. I'd like to first again acknowledge this community radio at radiofreebrooklyn.org. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad you're joining us. We are trying to do something very special. I'm very excited to be part of this community project. And community can mean so many things, but at Radio Free Brooklyn, it's really coming to life. There's some very exciting things that are happening, which in time will unfold. And I hope that Hurdy-Gurdy Songs will be one of the programs you listen to and support. I look for your feedback. Jorge@radiofreebrooklyn.org. Please, your ideas for songs, or what constitutes in your mind the Hurdy-Gurdy Songs. I talked a little bit about that in our initial program last week, but I want to just move on forward, excuse me, and get into the program today. Today we're going to focus on this theme of war and its various expressions, with a strong focus on, of course, the American experience with war. But that's not to say that we're going to limit ourselves to that in future episodes. So this is, in some effect, war number one. We'll be listening to a variety of music. And again, Hurdy-Gurdy Songs is really about eclectic songs that serve some social, some cultural end. It's important that the artists are acknowledged, of course, or we wouldn't have any of this without the artist, of course. But for the most part, I really want to focus on the songs, and hopefully I can share. Some of you may know a lot of information, more than I, about some of these songs, but I hope that we can share this information. And again, that's why please feel free to write to me at Jorge@radiofreebrooklyn.org. Okay, here we go. I wanted to start today with a song by Joan Baez that appears on her latest recording. And this recording, Whistle Down the Wind, is the title of the release. And this is a song called I Wish That Wars Were All Over. And let me start by telling a little bit about this particular song. First of all, the musicologist, folk musician, punk musician, Tim Erickson, first released this recording, and I hope to play that later in the show so you can get a sense of the bookend of this, I Wish That Wars Were All Over. But what Tim has done is remarkable. He's following the quote-unquote folk process where you search out melodies, where you search out the strands, the various twists and turns that a song takes. And this one, he has really tracked down some fascinating information about it. For example, this song, I Wish the Wars Were All Over, was first printed in the 18th century on broadsides and garlands, and there's a fascinating survival of the song in the manuscripts of the American prisoner of war, Timothy Connor. So this is an American prisoner of war. And so he traces the different manifestations of this song, this narrative by Tim O'Connor. And I'll talk a little bit more about what Tim's motivation and intent behind the song that makes this a hurdy-gurdy song. But let's start with the Joan Baez, I Wish the Wars Were All Over.
And now from my parents I'll hasten away. Down by the deep water where the sweet lilies stand, I saw pretty Polly a ring in her hands. And the song that she sang made the whole world to ring. My Billy has left me to fight for a king. And I wish the wars were all over. I stood in the banks to hear what she said. I'll follow my Billy, whether living or dead. The notes that she sang were the nightingale notes. How the lark and the linnet, they warble their throats. And I wish the wars were all over. I said, my dear Polly, if you'll stay with me, I'll make you as happy can be. Oh no, then she said, that never can be. I'll never be happy till my Billy I see. And I wish the wars were all over. I'll hasten away. I'll rig myself out in a young man's array. And every company that I pass by, I'll ask for my Billy, or where he does lie. And I wish the wars were all over. We're all all over.
Yeah, just a simply stunning, beautiful song. Tim Erickson shares with me that Connor, the protagonist of this narrative, and there are actually several variations, versions of this narrative that Tim has followed and tracked down. But Tim shares with me that Connor is an Irish Yankee from Boston who spent time in a British jail for privateering during the Revolutionary War and copied the words to some of his favorite songs in a prison diary, which were later published in George Carey's 1976 A Sailor's Song Bag. Sometimes in the mid-1990s, Tim made tunes for what he remembered or imagined and pieced together of two of these texts, both of which appear on his first solo CD. So this is what I'm referring to in that older melodies, ancient melodies, folk melodies, sometimes knowing who the writer is, sometimes not knowing the origin of the melody. But to put words, topical is the word that we often use, topical themes. Woody Guthrie, an expert, for example, at the topical theme song. So, Tim, I'll tell you a little bit more about what Tim has done, but he was really motivated by thinking about saying something about his that would draw together his various interests. As I mentioned, he's a musicologist, a punk musician, several recordings, a folk musician, and gets very deep into this. He points out that he remembers wanting to get away from anything that could be used by any particular side. The text is banal and emotionally accessible enough to be used by anyone. He wanted to make a song that couldn't be used against anyone, but he did want it to hurt. We'll take a listen to Tim's version from his first CD a little bit later on. For now, though, I'd like to move on to our next track, which some of you, I'm sure, will recognize.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day, have him win
anticipating something darker. This song was written by Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler, beginning when he was training to be a Special Forces medic. The author, Robin Moore, who wrote the book, The Green Berets, helped Sadler write the lyrics and get a recording contract with RCA Records. This song, which came out in 1966, was a huge hit. The fervor for the war at that point was pretty high. In any case, the lyrics were written in part in honor of Green Berets U.S. Army Specialist 5, James Gabriel Jr., the first Native Hawaiian to die in Vietnam, who was killed by the Viet Cong gunfire while on a training mission with the South Vietnamese Army on April 8, 1962. One verse mentioned Gabriel by name, but it was not used in the recorded version, unfortunately. Sadler recorded the song and 11 other tunes in New York in December of 1965. Again, it was a very big hit. It was released in 66, and Sadler performed, you may, on television, the Ed Sullivan Show, and several other shows, including the Hollywood Palace and the Jimmy Dean Show. Definitely a hurdy-gurdy song of its time. Next up is... it's probably one of the great heavy metal classics of all time. A model for heavy metal guitarists everywhere. And just want to point out that Black Sabbath, yeah, this song, War Pigs, well, first of all, I'm not sure, but initially, it referred, it was called Walpurgis, which referred to a satanic ritual celebration, kind of like Christmas for Satanists. And it had no real political content. In fact, Geezer Butler, the bassist with Sabbath, pointed out that there was very little in the way of politics involved with the singing. Ozzy basically rejected any political content. In any way, it's a great one. The darkness of it, the intensity of it. Even so, it rocks. And that's why I'm going to play it for us now. So here we go with War Pigs.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. We'll be right back.
darkness world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Sabbath. Geezer Butler said, yeah, this song is about evil. It's not about war per se. Even though Ozzy said, it's just an anti-war song. But yeah, it's a classic and a hurdy-gurdy song. Definitely speaks to some truth. And as the prototype for heavy metal, there's a lot of jamming going on in those days for Sabbath. Was earlier on in their career, and often at their shows they would jam, which it was not really the model that metal later became. But besides that, let's move on to Mr. Pete Seeger. Where else but Radio Free Brooklyn would you go from Sabbath to Seeger? Yeah, please, I want to ask you to make donations to Radio Free Brooklyn if you can. Anything to help out the station. This is community funded, community support that we ask. We are a 501c3 charitable organization, and so all donations are tax deductible. So please help support radiofreebrooklyn.org. You can make those donations right at that website, radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. Okay, we're going to go to Pete Seeger's probably most well-known satirical song about war, which is Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. Again, these are not long songs. This isn't, you know, sticks to the, you know, the short form. And it was a song that was considered symbolic of the Vietnam War, and particularly Johnson's policy of escalation of that war, which was then widely seen as pushing the U.S. deeper and deeper into this increasingly unpopular war. Like the captain's demise in the song, Johnson eventually lost the presidency due to the war in 68. The captain's criticism of a dissenting sergeant as a nervous Nelly in the song's third verse appears to mimic Johnson's epithet for critics of the war. Seeger often performed the song at concert halls and rallies, and in late 67 he was invited to perform on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Seeger chose to perform Big Muddy, and sang the song on a taping of the CBS show in September 67, but CBS management objected to the political tone and censored the song prior to the broadcast. Following strong support from the Smothers Brothers, I think Tom and Dickie, the show's hosts, CBS later relented and allowed Seeger to come back and sing the song on the show in 1968, in February. At the time, Seeger was under contract to Columbia Records, which was owned by CBS, and he had just recorded the song on an album titled Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. So it kind of makes sense. CBS, Columbia, TV, let the song out. So Waist Deep in the Big Muddy and other love songs, fairly successful recording, and the broadcast is included on a DVD if you're interested, the best of the Smothers Brothers. So let's take a listen to Pete Seeger, which of course we will probably explore further in some other of his capacities.
It was back in 1942, I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. The sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base? Sergeant, go on, I forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging, we'll soon be on dry ground. We were waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Well, the sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination, men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. All at once, the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he'd once before been. Another stream had joined the big muddy about a half mile from where we'd gone. We were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. Well, I'm not going to point anymore, I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep, neck deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
Yeah, Pete Seeger. Waist deep in the big muddy. Kind of seems a little prescient, wouldn't you say? Next up, I wanted to get into Jimmy Osborne. And more along the earlier country recordings, so to speak. On July 7th, 1950, the UN Security Council established a unified command over U.S.-led troops operating under the UN flag against North Korea. Although 16 countries deployed troops and five nations dispatched medical units, U.S. troops made up more than 90% of the UN force. An early song about the Korean War picked up on the uncertainty and trepidation of the times. God Please Protect America by Jimmy Osborne was an overtly religious song that asked God to protect American soldiers in Korea. It was a pretty standard war song, highlighting the heartache of a family back home and the necessity of victory. The song first appeared on the Billboard charts on October 7th, and it peaked at number 9. It was recorded in July of 1950. At King Recording Studios in Brewster, Cincinnati, Ohio. For this one, I'm going to switch over to YouTube for a second, and I hope you enjoy it.
We read in the newspapers, hear on the radio, they're fighting in Korea. The boys are called to go to meet the enemy as it comes across the line. God, please protect America in this troubled time. Oh, people, let's start praying as we never prayed before. We need the hand of God to lead us through this war. Give us victory in Korea and save our boys so fine. God, please protect America in this troubled time. How can we stand another war to take our loved ones dear and leave our home so lonesome with this dread and fear? Our hearts will bleed both night and day for the men out on the line. God, please protect America in this troubled time. Oh, people, let's start praying as we never prayed before. We need the hand of God to lead us through this war. Give us victory in Korea and save our boys so fine. God, please protect America in this troubled time. God tells us in the Bible to pray both day and night. We do not know the hour when the enemy will strike. If you'll be faithful till the end, no matter what the sign, God will protect America in this troubled time. Oh, people, let's start praying as we never prayed before. We need the hand of God to lead us through this war. Give us victory in Korea and save our boys so fine. God, please protect America.
Yeah, the great Jimmy Osborne. Interesting intersection of religion and war, which, of course, we're pretty familiar with, at least most of us are. 1950. Of course, we know how that played out, Korea, and how it appears to be, I think, the next week we'll see what happens out in Singapore. But yeah, Jimmy Osborne, God, Please Protect America. All right. Next up, I'd like to switch into our 60s era, back kind of the counterculture of the period, and get into the song by, of course, the country Joe McDonald. His I Feel Like I'm Fixing to Die rag. this tune, which was kind of his signature tune, even for Country Joe, he found it almost unfathomable. He didn't really understand it, how this ditty became an anthem at Woodstock in 69. It was first released in 65, early on in the U.S. military's involvement in Vietnam. Country Joe, who served in the U.S. Navy for 3 years, gravitated toward young songwriters on the Berkeley scene, such as Phil Oakes, Joan Baez, Judy Collins, the Freedom Singers, and of course later Bob Dylan, all tackling anti-war protest themes. His song Fixing to Die Rag has kind of a gallows humor and sarcasm about killing people from a soldier's perspective, which struck a resonant chord and was presented in this kind of odd, lighthearted jug band kind of arrangement. Unlike the Ballad of the Green Beret, Fixing to Die Rag, it was not an immediate hit, but became a fixture at many Vietnam-era protests. I still remember the first time I saw Country Joe in the Woodstock film, and he was just so masterful. And this song, Fixing to Die Rag, I think gives a sense of kind of the absurdity.
Fixing to Die Rag, take four.
Vietnam, and this is 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we're all gonna die.
Definitely a hurdy-gurdy song if I've ever heard one. Next up, perfect segue into from Joe, preceding Country Joe, there were a whole slew of folk revival folk singers, Phil Oakes, as I mentioned before, Joan Baez, Buffy St. Marie, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and their undisputed pre-revival leader, Pete Seeger, who kind of brought the traditions from the earlier traditions into the revival movement, and whose connection to Woody Guthrie and Alan Lomax served to establish almost this bedrock of the folk canon, as it were. Bob Dylan's rise to the top of this group of artists has, of course, been chronicled and debated to death, and still holds a central place in discussions about not only Dylan's intentions, but his rejection of the whole matter of, quote, protest, end quote, songs. In any case, whatever Dylan camp you're in, and there are several, pro and con, this one, Masters of War, which appeared on the freewheeling Bob Dylan, his second release on Columbia in 1963, it stands as perhaps his darkest, angriest outrage against the buildup of Eisenhower's military-industrial complex and the violence that results when nations arm themselves to the teeth. Dorian Lynskey's comments that the song is a vehicle for all those dangerous, unpacifistic emotions that anti-war movements rarely allow themselves to express. That feeling of hating violence so much that all you want to do is match it with violence of your own. Notwithstanding Dylan's perpetually enigmatic trickster act, Masters remains an unvarnished hurdy-gurdy song. Let's take a listen.
Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won, you want me to believe, but I see through your eyes and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire, and then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled, fear to bring children into the world, for threatening my baby unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know? But to talk out of turn, you might say that I'm young, you might say I'm unlearned, but there's one thing I know, I'm younger than you, that even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you lord down to your deathbed, and I stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
Masters of War, Bob Dylan. Let's move on to a piece by Tim Erickson that we opened up our show with Joan Baez's recently released version of it. Let's take a listen to Tim Erickson, I Wish the Wars Were All Over.
Down by deep water where sweet lindens stand, I saw pretty Polly wringing her hands. The song that she sung made the whole grove to ring. My Billy has left me to fight for a king, and I wish the war were all over. I stood in amaze to hear what she said. I'll follow my Billy, whether living or dead. The notes that she sung were the nightingale's notes, as the lark and the linnet, they warble their throats. And I wish the wars were all over. I said, my dear Polly, if you'll stay with me, I'll make you as happy can be. Oh no, that she said, that never can be. I'll never be happy till my Billy I see. And I wish the wars were all over. Now from my parents I'll hasten away. I'll rig myself out in a young man's array. And every company that I pass by, I'll ask for my Billy or where he does lie. And I wish the wars were all over, and I wish the wars were all over.
Tim Erickson's album came out in early 2001. And after September 11th of that year, he remembers people, some in the press, they commented on the prescience of his suggestion that the horror of war is here. It was a different time, he writes. Yet even then, he thinks that the idea that the horror was somewhere else and would likely stay there was fantasy. Liberal, conservative, whatever. It seemed like the perspective of someone who had somehow never known a veteran, a refugee, or some other struggling heart. I want to thank Tim Erickson for those words and for that song, which Joan Baez recorded recently and released it. Definitely a hurdy-gurdy song. Okay, let me make some some business here. Radio Free Brooklyn presents the Northside Festival show at the Well on June 7th. That's a couple of days from today, and it starts at 6 p.m. It ends around midnight. The Well is at 272 Mesereau Street here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. There is a $10 ticket price. If you need info, please check out rfb.nyc/tickets. Let me repeat that, rfb.nyc/tickets. It's going to be a great event. A lot of independent music, of course. Brooklyn featured many wonderful local artists, and that's really kind of the one of the key elements here at Radio Free Brooklyn, is the localism of the artists that we often present. Hurdy-gurdy is a little bit more wider in scope, I believe, but in any case, that's one event that I wanted to tell you about. And also, there's a second event, Diva Night. For all you divas, Diva Night is going to be on June 11th, and it's going to be at the Pine Box Rock Shop. And Lisa Levy, the wonderful Dr. Lisa, who does give a shit, or maybe doesn't, she will be curating, producing this along with Radio Free Brooklyn, and we really hope you can attend. That's going to be a free event at the Pine Box, which is located at 12 Grattan Street in Brooklyn. And you can find that on divanightbrooklyn.eventbrite.com. So yeah, so Radio Free Brooklyn's really putting on the shows, getting the music out there, getting the artists out there, letting you hear those hurdy-gurdy songs. Okay, next up, I want to just turn quickly to Two Tribes, which was a asked the question, are sex and horror the new gods? Frankie Goes to Hollywood, of course, is most famous for the notorious mega hit Relax. And Linsky's book 33 Revolutions talks about how the song is about the fear of nuclear war. And how songs about nuclear war really flourished during this time. It was a time in which, you know, we had emerged from the Kennedy versus Khrushchev Cuban Missile Crisis, Reagan versus Andropov in 1983, some events between the U.S. and Russia. Just seems to go on from the 1950s to the present day. In the mid-80s, a 22-year-old Holly Johnson, an impoverished punk maverick from Liverpool, had some local success with Big in Japan. That was his band. And they decided to write a song that dealt with the fear and paranoia around the nuclear holocaust. Let me get right into this song, Two Tribes. This is basically a song that points that we can, no matter what happens, you know, holocaust, apocalypse, it doesn't matter. As long as we can dance, that's what really matters. So with that, I really want to thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Hurdy-Gurdy Songs, and I hope you join us in the future. Every Tuesday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll be here. And send me those hurdy-gurdy songs, suggestions at Jorge at RadioFreeBrooklyn.org.